I am going to ask you some questions tonight that I don't know the answer to. But you do. And you're the only one that can answer these questions. I didn't leave a lot of blanks. There are a few things here for us to fill in as we go along. As I look out, I don't see anyone other than some of the children who are visiting that are not members of the church. So, I'm going to hammer on y'all tonight a little bit. No, I'm not. I'm going to let y'all hammer on yourself. Okay? My life as a Christian. Let's begin there under the introduction, letter A. You can write 2 Corinthians 13:5. That scripture says, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates?" Paul tells us it's up to you. You've got to prove your own selves. Examine your own selves. There may be others who keep an eye out for you, and if they see you in sin, they may point that out to you. But ultimately, I'm responsible for my own self. And ultimately, you are responsible for your own self. So we've got to examine ourselves. 1 Corinthians 11:31. Also, and this perhaps is a little more along the lines of the idea of some church discipline as well, which would involve others. But Paul says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." In essence, Paul says, if when we saw that we were wrong, we would correct it, then it wouldn't be necessary for someone else to correct it, or for God to judge us for it, or for us to suffer because of it if we get it straightened out. He just said this after he's talked about the Lord's Supper and examining yourself as you take the Lord's Supper. He said, judge yourself. All right, so here are some questions to ask myself, some questions for you to ask yourself. After considering not just those two scriptures, but we're going to mention the scriptures, those blanks there for you to write the scriptures in that we're going to mention that go along with these things. First, let's consider the people that we know. Of the people that I know different people than you do. You know people that I don't even know that you know. So I can't answer these questions for you. You have to answer them of the people that you know. Write down 1 Peter 3:15. There Peter says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." And then you can also write down 1 Corinthians 15:33, because these are the two different sides of this that we're going to be looking at. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." Now here are some questions. And of course we don't have time for you to answer all of these questions right now. I want you to take this home this week, and I want you to look at these scriptures again, and I want you to answer them. But I won't be able to control you and make you do it, so it's up to you whether you do it or not. I'm not in charge of your life. I can encourage you to do that. I can tell you that I would like you to do that. I can tell you I think God wants you to, based on the fact that we read already that we're supposed to examine ourselves. but I can't make you do it. So here then are the questions. When we talk about being ready to give an answer, when we talk about evil communications, evil companionship, corrupting good manners or good morals, of the people I know, have I brought any to Christ? How many know I am a Christian? How many would be surprised to know that I am supposed to be a Christian? How many have I never invited to church? How many have I mentioned Christ to? How many helped me be a better Christian? How many influenced me for evil? When we think about our companions, our friends, relatives, acquaintances, these are some questions that we need to consider with all of those individuals. Secondly, we want to think about the places we go. First Thessalonians 5:22 tells us that we are to abstain from all appearance of evil. So of the places that I go, could I take Jesus with me? Would I be embarrassed to be seen there by another Christian? Do I spend more time there than serving God? Or can I serve God while I am there? You know, those two things are not mutually exclusive. We can serve God in places other than the worship assembly. In fact, most of our service to God should be done elsewhere. This is worship. Our service is done out there. So when I go these places, am I spending more time going doing these things and not serving God? Or can I go there and serve God while I'm there? Would I want my children to go there and do what I do while I'm there? And even of those places, I didn't write this one down, but I wanted to add it. When I go there, is there somewhere else that I should have gone instead? You realize that there are a lot of places in this world that are not bad places in and of themselves. But if they take me away from some place that I ought to have been at that time, they can still be sinful to me. All right, the third one. And I hope that you're considering these and thinking only about yourself. Don't think about Sister So-and-so sitting over the other pew. Don't think about Brother So-and-so sitting behind you in front. Each of us, we need to be thinking myself. What about me? Because who can we control in this world? Can I control Sister So-and-so? Can I control Sister Brother So-and-so? Make them do what I think they ought to? No. But who can I control? I can control me. So it's up to me to live my life as a Christian. Notice it says, my life as a Christian at the top of the page. Not brother so-and-so's life as a Christian. Not sister so-and-so's life as a Christian. My life as a Christian. We want to look into the mirror of God's Word and see ourselves there reflected and see how we measure up. The third one, of the entertainment I enjoy. And I do enjoy some entertainment. I enjoyed playing some basketball with the boys this afternoon. Got so wrapped up in it, in fact, that I forgot that I hadn't printed out the outline for tonight. I had to run over here and get that printed out and let Quan hand those out to you. Of the entertainment I enjoy. So we think about the way we entertain ourselves. Write down 1 Peter 4:4. Peter says, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Is that verse true of you? Would your old companions speak evil of you because of the things that you don't do that you used to do with them? Galatians 5:19 through 21 is another good passage. It's certainly not the only one that lists some sins, but it is one that has quite a list. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And if, like me, you don't know what some of those words mean, go find the dictionary and look them up. Don't say, well, I don't know what those mean, so I won't worry about that. That may be the one you've got a problem with. Look it up. Find out what that word means, so you know whether you're engaged in one of those works of the flesh. So we think about these in terms of our entertainment. Are any of these things involved? Of the entertainment I enjoy, does it help or hinder me to live like Christ? In other words, does it help my Christian walk or does it hinder my Christian walk when I do these things? Would I invite Jesus to join with me? I certainly would have been glad to have had Jesus with me on that basketball game earlier. Maybe Quan and I wouldn't have lost so badly. Although I don't know. If he hadn't used his miraculous powers, I don't know. He probably never played basketball. I don't know how good he would have been. But there are some things certainly that Jesus could join right in with us and it wouldn't be any problem in the world. There are certainly other things that he could not join in and would not join in. Do I spend more time or money on it than I do on serving God? Do I spend more time or more money on the way that I entertain myself than I do on serving God? That's not counting worship, by the way. Does it encourage me to accept or commit sin? Now, there are many things that try to make light of sin. Does it encourage me to either accept or commit sin? Have I made it an idol? Has it become more important to me than God? Do I worship and serve it rather than the Creator? And this question then, could I give it up? Don't be too hasty to say, well, yeah, of course I could. Because if you say, yes, I can, then I want to challenge you, give it up for 1 week. You say, well, I like this, okay? Give it up for 1 week. See how you do. 1 week. Could you give it up? The fourth thing we want to look at is of the money that I spend. We all spend money. Money makes the world go round. But what about that money that I spend? Number four, there in the blank, let's write these verses. 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. While some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That's more about the making of the money than the spending of it. But we can love the money to have to spend as well. Matthew 6:24, Jesus said, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Or some would say that's money, that mammon. You can't serve God and material things. So, of the money I spend, is what I got worth what I paid? That's just a little about value. Is it worth it? Is what I bought an idol? You realize two people could go out and buy the exact same thing, and one of them could be deeply in sin because that thing is an idol to them, and the other person could be glorifying God because they're going to use that very same item to worship and serve Him and to serve their fellow man. So, we can't just assume because that person has, they may be using it properly or they may not. That's for, between them and God, how they use that item or what that item is. But is what I bought an idol? Am I spending more on things I need or things I want? Alex sometimes says, somebody who works hard ought to be able to afford to buy some of the things they want. And I believe that's true. But that doesn't mean that we buy everything in the world that we see that we want. And I know sometimes we have a tendency to go out and buy what we want and then not have the money to buy the things that we need. We need to think about that. Is it selfish? Did I spend my money selfishly? Now, just because you spent your money on something for yourself does not mean it's selfish necessarily. But is it selfish? Am I spending to impress others? Do I just have to go buy this thing and spend this money because somebody else would notice if I did? Am I doing it to impress someone else? Am I spending more than I make? That's not being a good steward. So am I spending more than I make? Now I know that all of us have, we may have a month where, there are a dozen things come up and we just spend, but on our basic, day-to-day, we need to be planning to not spend more than we make. We are not the U.S. government. There is a limit. As a steward, am I faithful? Will I be found faithful? How will God view the way I have handled my money and what I have spent it on? I didn't mention that scripture, 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That one could go right along there with it. Okay, of the things, and I meant to change that. That should read, of things I possess. Okay, should, of the things I possess. I put own there, but that should be of the things I possess. We want to think about the things that we have in our possession. Luke 12 and verse 15. Jesus said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses." Not about how many things we have, Jesus says. So of the things I possess, how many of them belong to God? Think about that. How many of the things you possess belong to God? And before we get to that next question, of the ones that you believe belong to God, how many of them are you using as though they belong to God? And how many are you using as though they belong to you? How many of them would God want me to have, and how many should I get rid of? It'd take you a month just to count all of the things that you possess, probably. So when we say how many, we're not necessarily looking for a specific number. That could be time consuming. How many of them could I live without? Do they serve me, or do I serve them? You know, a car can be a wonderful tool, can't it? Bring you to church, can take you to the grocery store, can take you to visit Sister Viola over at the hospital, and do all sorts of wonderful things. But it can also be a terrible burden if you have to wash and wax it every day. If you have to constantly make sure that no birds fly over it because they might make a mess on it, and then you have to wash it and wax it a second time that day. If you have to make people take their shoes off before they get in it because they might get mud on the carpet, it could become a terrible burden, and we could get to the point where we're serving the thing. And I simply use the car as one example of that. It could be any of the things that we possess. Because I know some of you are saying, "Well, I don't have a car," so he's not talking about me. Not just cars, anything. Anything we possess. Do I place too much emphasis on them or value them above the people in my life? There's an old saying, love people and use things. Don't love things and use people. And we need to think about that. How do I use them to serve the Lord better? Or do I? Maybe they hinder me from serving the Lord. You know, the fellow that's got that nice fishing boat, it hinders him every Sunday because he wants to take that boat out on the lake instead of going to worship. Can I give account of my stewardship? And again, we didn't mention this, but you could put 1 Corinthians 4:2 with this section as well. Of course, really, we could just about put 1 Corinthians 4:2. Y'all have been studying that in the Sunday morning class. That applies to almost everything in your life, doesn't it? That's an amazing verse, that little short verse. All right, number 6. Of the things I say I believe. We all say we believe some things. I believe there's a God. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. We studied that this morning about accepting and respecting God's Word as authority. Of the things I say, I believe. Luke 6:46. Jesus said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" And John 12:42. "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue." Think about those two verses. We might also think about Matthew 23:3, where Jesus says of the Pharisees, "Do not after their works, for they say and do not." Of course, we would say, "They say and they do not do." But that, like I guess that sounds a little redundant. Of the things I say I believe, why do I say I believe them? Why? Do I really believe them, or do I just know that I am supposed to believe them? But Hatcher and I were talking a while ago about a questionnaire that he put out anonymously at a congregation asking about what things are sin and what aren't. And I know if he put that same congregation out, some of us would be very surprised by the answers that we heard back, because it was anonymous, so they didn't have to put the name on it. There's no chance of anybody finding it. Well, I can't believe you believe that. So anonymously, why do you believe that? You say, well, I believe that because I've heard so many sermons saying that's sin. They're saying that's right. They're saying that's wrong. But why do you believe it? Or do you believe it? Are you just saying, that's what I believe because I know that as a Christian, that's what I'm supposed to say I believe? Why do I say I believe them? Is it because I'm trying to impress somebody? Or trying to deceive somebody? And then why do I believe them? Do they affect the way I live my life? And then in conjunction with that, let me ask you this question. If something you believe does not affect the way you live your life, does it do you any good to believe it? Don't jump to a quick answer, but just think about that. Does it do you any good? What good does it do you to believe something if you don't act upon it, if it doesn't change the way you live your life? That's where those among the chief rulers who believed on Jesus, but they did not confess because they did not want to be put out of the synagogue. Did it do them any good to believe in Jesus and then be unwilling to act on that belief? And we need to think about that with many of the things that we say that we believe. How do my actions show that I believe those things that I claim to believe? And then finally, am I willing to suffer for them? How much would I be willing to suffer for them? Number 7, the final one of the things that I do and say. Matthew 12:37. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. So of the things I do and say, the things I say, a couple, first of all. Would I say it in a prayer? Now, I imagine there might be some things that I would say under certain circumstances that I wouldn't necessarily say in a prayer, because a prayer is a prayer to God. But would it be appropriate, language-wise, to be said in a prayer? Would I say it to Jesus? Sometimes we talk to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and I've been guilty of this as well. I'm examining my life as well. I'm not pointing fingers at you. You've got to look at your own life. I'm looking at mine. There have been times in my life where I've said things to people in ways or with words that I would have never thought. I would have never talked to Jesus that way. I talked to my brother or sister in Christ. And Jesus said, as you've done unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. Would I talk to Jesus that way? Would I say that to Jesus? Would I do it to Jesus? You know, some of the ways that we act. Would we do that to Jesus? Would I say or do it if other Christians would know about it? You know, sometimes we think, well, nobody's going to know that I said or did this thing. Would I still say it or do it if other Christians would know about it? Do the things that I say and do help bring others to Christ, or do they push others away from the church and away from Christ? And again, this is not, certainly this isn't a blanket, oh, everything I've ever said in my life pushed somebody away from the church. No. But I need to be keeping these questions in my mind day in and day out. And as I'm about to say something, I need to be asking myself the question, if I say this, will it help or will it harm? Will it bring or will it drive them away? And we need to be thinking about that and asking ourselves that. And then the final question there, am I ready to answer to God for them? Am I ready to answer to God for the things that I say and do? Because I will, in judgment, have to answer for the things that I've said and done. Of the people you know, the places you go, the entertainment you enjoy, the money you spend and the things you possess, the things you say you believe, and the things you do and say. How well do you measure up to those scriptures? And I know you, I hope you don't think you already have the answer to that, because if you already have the answer, then you haven't thought about it long enough. This is not something that in 30 minutes we're going to have the answer to all these questions. This is a lot of questions. And this is something that we need to struggle with, answering these questions every day of our lives. But I hope that this week you will spend some extra time in reading these scriptures again, looking at these things, and if it, you know, maybe it's too much, maybe do one each day. There's seven here. You can do one on Monday, and one on Tuesday, and one on Wednesday. And just do one each day. And examine your life. Are you walking and living as a Christian should? I hope that you are. If already you've discovered that, there are a lot of things there that I know I need to work on. And I think all of us probably would have to admit, well, we always have something specific that you really need help with, and you need the prayers of the church, and you need to confess to God that you've been sinning in one of these areas, and that you are ready not just to say, hey, I've been sinning in this area, and then go on doing it, but you're ready to actually stop, repent, turn your life around and quit doing those things, then you may need to do that tonight. Because there's not a better time than now to turn things back to God. If you're here and you have a need to respond, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.